From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of October 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Discuss that cold, even snowy weather forecast for the weekend. We'll do that with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Snow and cold for the northwestern part of the belt. A good cool here in our part of the world as well. And we'll take a look at what Todd Hubb has to say about the export markets and how the markets generally react to freezes during the growing season. So we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, December corn up 2.25 cents, finished at $3.87 a bushel. The March at $3.99, two higher. And May contract at $4.04 and a half up two. July, $4.08 and a quarter, 2.5 higher. And next year's December corn at $4.06 and a half a bushel, up 2.25. Soybeans finished down a penny in the lead November at $9.15 and a quarter. January at $9.29 and a half, 3/4 lower. March down a quarter at $9.40 and a half, and the May futures at $9.50 and a quarter, up a quarter. July contract $9.59, 0.75 cents higher. Bean oil futures up 22 cents, the bean meal down $1.40, and the wheat futures finished the July soft red at $5.06 and a quarter, 0.75 cents lower. The hard red July at $4.37, down 0.75 cents. Live cattle futures up 90 cents in the lead October at $108.25. Feeder cattle at $141.70 in the October at 27.5 cents lower on the day, and lean hogs finished down $1.90 at $60.50. The crude oil at $52.78, that's 3 cents a barrel lower. Ethanol futures at $1.40, a penny and 2 cents higher. Heating oil is about even for the day. Gasoline just about 0.4 cents lower, 0.04 stub lower, that is, at $1.56.09. And natural gas is 5.3 cents lower, $2.29.09. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 44 points lower. The dollar up 0.17. Gold futures down $15.60. Kurt Kimmel is now on the phone. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will help us take a look at what happened in the marketplace today. Lots of things to discuss this afternoon. Weather is among them. What are you hearing from the meteorologist you're talking with?
Well, the particular publication I follow has over 227 years of publication experience. And if you were at one of the Outlook meetings here, you know, 2, 3, 4 months ago, it's well advertised a very cold, snowy October 10th through the 14th. And by gosh, they kind of got lucky on that one there as far as the forecast. But if you're in the upper Midwest, not so lucky. Freezing, wintry conditions, 10 to 12 inches of snow in the upper Midwest. And boy, that's going to put a halt to some probably some harvest activity if they acquire those amounts. This afternoon's crop conditions report is going to be watched real closely to give the trade an idea of what's mature and what's not mature in the upper third of the Midwest. But boy, this weekend here is going to be a major weather event according to who is warm and who is cold, Todd.
All right, so we'll be watching that closely. How does the market generally react to these sorts of events?
Well, in past history, if it's just a normal so-called frost freeze, the initial reaction is sharply higher, then the market subsides from there and so-called cools off. It becomes a quality issue and so forth from there on out. But in this case, with the large percentage of the crop being late and the immaturity of the crop, it could be a little bit more of a major event if it dips a little further south than expected. But a lot of this also is going to get in the panhandle of Texas, too. So it's going to be watched closely here as we're going. But not only the cold temperature, but the moisture. These temperatures dip down into the 30s, and we see a continuation of 40 degrees and not getting much above 50 degrees It's going to slow down the evaporation rate and make it a challenge to get the crop out, just like it was a challenge going in.
This event is scheduled to start Thursday and run through, I think, about Monday of next week. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Chinese trade negotiators are in Washington, D.C., though it won't be until Thursday that we have the big dogs in the room. So at that point, the Chinese primary negotiator will be in the room along with the Trump administration's primary negotiator. What are expectations there? And of course, it's almost a triple witching hour that day because WASD reports out that day too.
Oh, but a jam-packed week of a lot of different things. Every day's a witching hour, it seems like, from here on out. But Chinese are publicizing they want a mini deal, but the real Donald Trump wants a full-blown deal. So I don't know if we're going to make any headway at all on it. The trees kind of wore out on these meetings. We've not really gotten anywhere. We get up to 99%, but then it falls apart. There was some sales announced this morning, 198,000 tons of beans to China, another 240,000 tons of beans to unknown destination. They say these are good safe purchases. I don't believe so. I believe China needs these beans. These are booked prior to the shipments of the Southern Hemisphere going to their country and through there. So we'll see what happens in through here. The hog market took it on the chin on ideas that we might not come to an agreement here this week.
What are the things that you're expecting on the WASD report? Anything?
Well, I was kind of looking at what the breakdowns were incorporating in the numbers. Naturally, yield is anywhere from a half to three quarters of a bushel lower, but the trade is tackling harvested acres. We're looking at the bean harvested acres being down about 160 million or 160,000 acres, corn acres being down 370,000 acres on harvest. So I think we're starting to take some mini steps on trying to get the yield and the harvested acreage right. But we'll see what unfolds here. The trend is lower. We started that in September. The stocks report shed a little light on our inventories. So the ending stocks on corn is expected to be about 1.7 billion bushels, and ending stocks on beans, 521 million bushels. The significance of the corn numbers, we're at four-year lows, and that suggests that we really don't need to be at four-year lows on prices, so dips in through here should be supportive if these numbers fall in line, at least what the trade's looking for on Thursday.
Yeah, it looks like farmers should have had a pretty good week getting started if they could in the field. I think I checked the 72-hour rainfall totals. Not much in the Midwest, all the way from Ohio to North Dakota. What are you hearing on that early stage of harvest so far?
Well, here in the central part, a lot of bean activity is going to take place this week. We've heard anywhere from 40 to 80 bushel beans. A lot of bean cutting is going to take place. Last year, guys waited on beans to dry down. They never did, and they missed the opportunity to get beans out in ideal conditions. So I think a lot of the guys are looking at taking a lot of beans out here in the next few days. But not so fortunate. You don't have to go very far north, northwest. They received some fairly good rains last week and some more rains over the weekend through here. So that north, northwest is probably going to struggle here for a while. This afternoon's harvest progress report as the nation is expected to show corn harvest at 19% and bean harvest at 15%. And that's probably just a little generous, but it's a slow start. For those who kind of like market action and the news, we're in a harvest delay. And in past history, we've been in harvest delays. The market reacted, but not just yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the U of I campus. Good afternoon to you, Todd. Thanks so much for being with us. You've penned another article for the Farm Doc Daily website, this time about exports. Tell me about it.
Well, I was looking at export sales thus far this 1920 marketing year and sort of recapping where we ended up in 1819 for corn and soybean exports, and corn exports in 1819, and they ended up coming in 2.067 billion bushels, somewhere in that range, 2.06 billion bushels. We got off to a really strong start last marketing year, and then basically lost export market share in the second half in corn, as, you know, large crops in South America, competitive pricing, took our market share. And we saw exports just sort of in corn fall off the cliff in the second half of the marketing year. And some of that weakness has crept into the start of this marketing year. You know, we're seeing export sales down from last year, which we would expect just because of the hot pace they were on. But even so, we're not seeing a lot of export sales and exports to Asia, which is a little bit concerning because Japan, South Korea, typically major corn buyers. You know, we're even seeing Mexico down a little bit, but they're basically on pace. We've seen some sales since the last report, but we're off to a slow start in corn. I think it might pick up a little bit when we get some certainty on production levels in the U.S. in 2019, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about the corn crop both here and what's going to end up happening in South America next year. There's been some dryness in Brazil and Argentina. We've seen their crop planting get off to a slow start for soybeans and for full season crop corn. So there's a lot of uncertainty still in that place. And if we short the crop here significantly in the U.S., we normally see rationing in exports markets. Right now, the USDA for 1920 is about 2.05 billion bushels. I wouldn't be surprised if they lowered it a little bit in the October WASDE, but we're a long way from, you know, calling it quits on corn exports this year. Soybeans, just like last year, we saw soybean exports pick up at the tail end of the marketing year a bit as we caught some of Brazil's traditional customers as they just sent loads of soybeans to China. Right now, the USDA is projecting 1.775 billion bushels of soybean exports. And we've seen China come in a strong way in buying soybeans over the last few weeks leading into this trade deal. And I expect that to continue until the trade negotiations start, as they're buying quite a bit of soybeans, which were slightly behind last year's pace, but pretty close based on some of the recent sales that China's taken from soybeans. So much like corn, that South American crop's going to have a lot to say about what soybean exports look like this marketing year.
What are your expectations going forward?
Well, it really, for soybeans, it really does depend on the trade negotiations in a large way. You know, we may see some kind of limited deal where ag imports for China from the U.S. are allowed while we still negotiate the bigger structural issues. I'm not sure if that's what's going to happen, but I could see a deal like that falling out of this. It's hard to say. You know, if we don't get a trade deal, I think China will take delivery of everything they've bought. But we're still looking at 1.7, 1.75 billion bushels. Because last year, China's sales were down over 500 million bushels. And we weren't able to make up for that to the rest of the world. Corn exports, I think, will pick up as we move through the marketing year. It really does depend on how competitive the Ukraine and places like South America are as we move into the early part of 2020. You know, if we have a much reduced crop this year, we will see export numbers come down, but that doesn't mean prices are coming down because we'll have supply issues domestically. So I think there's still a place. It's too early to write off exports at current USDA projections. It sort of looks difficult, barring a trade deal, to see us exceeding current USDA projections.
One other question, this is not related to what you've written, but I'm wondering, because there is cold weather potentially coming in at the end of the week, especially for the northwestern part of the Corn Belt all the way through Iowa, maybe snowstorm as well. How do the markets generally react?
You know, if we do get a freeze and a snowstorm in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota later this week, I think you'll see the rally commence. Now, as you know, I've been a proponent particularly for corn of the late season price rally due to I haven't had my yields nowhere close to USDA's numbers out of my models. If we do see this kind of hard freeze that basically stops the corn crop and a lot of that late planted corn where it is, I think you'll see a run up it may run back a little bit, but the long-term potential for corn is basically, you know, a yield much below what USDA said, particularly on the late crop, late planted stuff. So I'm sort of in the range, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you could see corn hit 425 cash prices or higher if we get a real strong production problem. You know, it could go higher, but you know, anywhere in that kind of cash range, I think you should probably think about marketing some. And this applies for soybeans as well. I think you could see cash beans hit $9. We talk about corn and this freeze and what it's going to do to corn a lot, but a lot of beans were planted pretty late. I don't think the pod counts are there. You know, if we went below 45 bushels an acre on beans, you could see it push higher pretty easily. So I think there's going to be opportunities as we move through October into November, December, and the early part of next 2020 to have some decent prices. And, you know, not prices we're throwing parties about, but better than what we've seen. And early hard freeze in a snowstorm, depending on how far down it dips. Like if it gets down here into the middle of Illinois with a hard freeze later this week, yeah, all bets are off.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. On this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He is with Brisk Pulse out of Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Todd.
So all the talk is the cold and snowy weather, especially in the Northwest. Let's start with the cold because that looks like it drifts down into a good part of the Corn Belt. What do we see in the coming few days?
Yeah, well, as we look out for the next 4 days or so, temperatures actually for much of the Corn Belt will be biased warmer than normal, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. But it's the cold that's now in the process of flowing into the northern plains that then is going to expand and encompass much of the Midwest coming up over the upcoming weekend and on into the start of next week. Now, the coldest mornings across the Midwest are going to take place on Friday, Saturday and Sunday mornings, with then the coldest readings being in areas of the northwest and western part of the Corn Belt. In fact, the way that the cold looks to be set up, we are forecasting temperatures of 28 to 32 degrees across far western Minnesota, eastern North Dakota and eastern South Dakota, northwest Iowa, as well as northeast Nebraska. That's the coldest readings or coldest area expected with this surge of cold for the weekend and early next week.
As if that weren't bad enough, it also comes along, I think, in some areas with snowfall. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, out ahead of the cold air coming in is going to be a significant autumnal snowstorm, primarily centered across the Dakotas, and that extends into southern Manitoba, Canada as well, and across much of the Dakota region here coming up. We are forecasting totals ranging anywhere from about 3 to 6 inches on the lighter side to over a foot in some locations. And that area with the highest risk of seeing a foot plus of snow, it looks to be the east central areas of North Dakota and then into southern Manitoba. And that snow is going to be accompanied by very windy conditions. But at this time, it looks to be followed by at least a stretch of generally drier weather for much of next week. So, but nonetheless, it's a significant snow event coming up.
I'd like to come back to the cold for just a moment. What do you watch in order to predict how cold it will be and where the coldest places might be?
Oh, Todd, good question. Using a combination of both where the center of the polar air mass or the high pressure system coming in, the areas closest to the center of that air mass will traditionally see the most radiative cooling and where the coldest temperatures will be. So that's one factor. The second factor is actually snow cover. And in a situation like what we're going to have, some of the coldest readings will be in areas closest to where the thicker snowpack is going to be. So kind of using those two metrics is what we're determining as part of our temperature forecast.
It'll be bad enough that it snows, but getting even colder on top of that will be far worse. Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Greg Johnson of the Andersons now joins us from right here in Champaign County. I take it it's a busy day at the grain elevator here.
It was, Todd. Very busy day. Bean harvest is in full force. The corn is drying down, but it's still a little wet in places, and so it's more of a bean day, and I think it'll be a bean week this week. And then once we get some of these early planted beans harvested, then I think the attention will shift to corn next week. But this week it's beans for the most part.
So how's the harvest going from the farmer's perspective and kind of yields? What's it look like so far?
You can basically draw a line along Interstate 74. If you're south of that line, the yields are pretty good, maybe 10-15% below a year ago, but yet we have to remember last year was a record year, so 10% off of a record crop is not bad. Unfortunately, if you get north of Interstate 74, especially northeast, the northeastern part of Champaign, the northern part of Vermilion on up into Iroquois, the yields go down in a hurry. Not very much rain this summer when other areas were getting rain, and so those yields are down 25, 30, even as much as 50% in some areas. So kind of depends where you are, but south is okay. North is not as good.
And they were one of the wettest areas. They didn't get in as early, and everybody was late, but they were behind, and then they got a drought. They had the worst of both things going on there, I take it.
Exactly, yes, and the yields are reflecting that, unfortunately.
What are your expectations for the crop production and WASDE report this week?
Well, I think we're only about 15% harvested nationwide, and that's when USDA and WASDE try to do some objective yield reports, but there's not going to be a lot to go off of. So I'm guessing that they probably won't get too aggressive in their changes until the November crop report when we have a lot more objective data. So I think the yields are coming down eventually, but maybe not so much in this October report as the November report.
Have you heard from your grain elevators in parts of Iowa and the ones in Nebraska and what they think the potential problem might be at the end of the week will be with the cold weather?
Well, they're just going to have to, there's not much they can do about it other than try to get out as much as they can ahead of time. And it's been awfully wet in Iowa, for example. They've had rain each of the last 2 weeks, and so they're going to have things dry out first before they can even think about getting in the field. So it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair in Iowa. Nebraska's had better weather. I think they've been able to make a little bit more progress. And unless you're in extreme northeastern Nebraska, I think most of that cold and snowy weather is going to miss them. So hopefully they'll be able to keep on going.
Basis levels holding strong?
Basis levels are extremely firm, especially on soybeans. The yields are more disappointing on beans than they are on corn, and so the basis levels are reflecting that. So bean basis is up about a nickel from a week ago. Corn basis just steady, but at extremely long, strong levels.
Unusual during this part of the season, and probably more unusual for beans because we're in the middle of harvest, at least in our area.
It is. And last year we had terrible basis levels because of the trade war. We still have the trade war on, but the yields are so bad and acres were down. I think there's plenty of room to store beans, and farmers are bullish beans, and so they're putting beans away, and there's good carry in the market. So all those things add up to storing beans, and that's what the farmers are doing right now.
And do you think we'll have a pretty good usage in the coming year?
It really all depends, I think, on the trade deal getting done sooner rather than later. I know that China can buy beans from South America, and then we can sell our beans to some of the countries that South America typically sells to, but that still seems like there's some kind of a diminishing effect there if we can't sell directly to China, and with the African swine fever as well. That's also put a crimp in the demand. So we really need to get China back in the ballgame. That would really help us out.
You think the kind of basis levels for corn and soybeans that we're seeing now can last through the end of the year?
I do. On corn, yes. And maybe beans too, for that matter. But corn, I think there's good demand for corn. We don't depend on China as much, so we don't have to worry quite as much about them for our demand on corn. But in the eastern Corn Belt, they took a lot of prevented plant acres, and then the yields are going to be down as you get east of the Mississippi. So basis levels, I think, are going to have to stay strong east of the Mississippi to encourage corn to move from west to east all year.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Todd.